What a joyous privilege it is to be a parent, to be a teacher, to be a human being. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. What a privilege it is, what an honor it is to be a teacher, to be a parent. For a teacher and a parent have the opportunity to draw out the genius that's within each child. They draw out the genius. They don't put it in. They don't teach them to be a genius. They are a genius. And the ability to be a genius, the talent and the art of genius, is something that is encouraged. And that's called entheos, enthusiasm in God. Entheos, enthusiasm. When a teacher, a parent, can encourage a child to have enthusiasm for anything, they immediately drink it in and live it and act it and experience it and are it, and it's an amazing and a wonderful thing. Now, we've watched some of the later issues of The Dog Whisperer, and in these later issues, The Dog Whisperer is acting like a psychologist for human beings as well as a psychologist for animals. And like he confesses to the people, the biggest job I have is to train the people. Because a dog is a given object. A dog is designed, created to respond in a certain way. A dog is a pack animal, and it responds as a pack. A dog is an obedient animal. It wants to have a master. It wants to have an alpha person who is going to guide them and teach them and show them the way. A dog is like a mother dog. A mother dog picks up the baby puppy by the scruff of the neck and carries it around just as a kitten and the cat does and other animals do. There's always that parental response. Now, the children, the animals, the pets, the humans, all respond in the same way. Maybe, perhaps, because we're all mammals of a nature. And how do you and I work with our children? Well, you say to yourself, it's been a long time since I've been a child. And, of course, it really hasn't been a long time since you've been a child. Just a moment ago, you were a child, and still are. And that child means you like a leader. You like someone to show you the way. You like a parent, someone to love you and nurture you and care for you. You like discipline, because then you can know what to expect from yourself and from others and from the world, and you know how to react and react in the world. And if you don't have these things, then you feel lost and empty. That's what people call it, their soul, you know. And their soul is merely being at one with yourself, where you are in charge and you're happy with yourself. People say, well, the soul is your divine spiritual thing. It's part of your godness. Oh, forget it. The soul is your feeling about, you're feeling good about yourself. Some people like to say it's the conscience, like Jiminy Cricket, you know. And is it your conscience? What is your soul? Your soul is when you feel good about yourself. Your soul is when you feel at one with yourself. Your soul is when you are in really a state of bliss. Now, how do you get into this state? As we say, a teacher is very privileged, and a parent is very privileged to be able to help a child reveal the genius that's within them. They're not putting the genius in it. It's not the family genes that are there. It's not the DNA and all that sort of stuff. That may have a way in how easy it is to open it or how difficult it is, but it's all there. And if you know it's there, and you know all you have to do is draw it out, you're not like a magnet. You're not magnetizing something from a person. You're drawing having them reveal, see, rather than drawing out, having them reveal who and what they are. So now, I've told you often about my geography teacher in high school, and Mr. Van Allen or something like that, and he was an interesting, tall, skinny guy, sort of a, I don't know what his personal life was, I have no idea what his social life was, I have no idea what he did other than what he did in class. But when he came in class, he had that quiet dignity about him that said, I know what I'm talking about. And all the kids in class just listened to him. And they didn't think he was a great teacher. They didn't think that he was an intelligent, wise, and brilliant teacher. They just listened. And as they listened, they learned. And all the students in his class got high grades, not because he cheated or they cheated, but because they listened. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And he made all of the countries of the world without boundaries. He made them all come alive, that they were something on their own. They were not a place that had a boundary that closed it in and that said that this is the limit that they could go. They were always crossing the boundaries. They were always, not negatively in any way, but they were always visiting. They were always taking new ideas from each other and sharing ideas all over the world. And my geography class was a time of the day when I felt the warmest, the happiest, the coolest of any course that I was taking in school. And I thought, I didn't think this then, but I think it now, if all of my courses could have been that way, how delightful school would have been. School was all right, but it wasn't what Mr. Van Allen could have made it. You know, he was just really a fantastic person because he loved geography and he loved to talk about it. And the way he talked about it made us all love it also. I wouldn't be surprised if every student who took geography loved geography the rest of their life. Now, some people love Latin. They took Latin. Mm-hmm. And taking Latin, they were always conjugating verbs and all that sort of stuff and being so superior to everybody else and knowing so much. And then when they got to the middle of the Latin class, the middle of the year, the middle of the semester really, a change came over all of them. And they started applying what they were learning. They started applying the words in Latin to the words in English and seeing the parallels and seeing the parallels in all the languages and how it was a foundation. And then they no longer felt superior. They felt excited. But it took halfway through the class always before the students got to the point of realizing what was happening to them. That this was an exciting game. This was not a boring conjugative activity that was going on, but it was an exciting, revealing idea when this language made all other languages much more understandable. Well, teachers who liked themselves, and they did, teachers who liked themselves teach in a happy way. They go to school in the morning excited about the topic because they're reliving that topic and re-inviting that topic in their life. And when they go home after the day is over, they are just still rolling in the beautiful philosophy of the topic that they have, the beautiful subject that they teach. Now, how many parents love the day spent with their children? Many. But many don't. And those who don't are those who are expecting the wrong thing. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And you see, the children of the don't do this family are always in a terror and an unhappiness. Now, in the family where the mother herself is brought up and the father himself has been brought up this way, the way that says, that's very good. Hey, that's a new way of looking at it. Hey, you're full of great ideas. You surprise me every minute with the genius that you have. You're fantastic. Well, what would happen to the kids if the parents would remark in that way to them? If the parents would remark in that way to themselves? in themselves. Now, every great teacher and every great master says this statement. It's sort of a hackneyed statement, but it's a statement. Sababam, what do you say?
I'm God, and I know it, and you are God too, but you don't know it.
And what does some other, I am God and I know it, and you are God, but you don't know it. Now, what do some other teachers say too? They say, hey, what did our great teacher, the dog whisperer, say last night? He says, yes, you say, well, oh, you can do that. You walk in a room and all the dogs bow down and say, our master is here, our leader is here, somebody who's going to guide us and show us the way is here. Woo-hoo-hoo, how wonderful. And the people are all looking at it, they say, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could have the same charisma that the dog whisperer had. And then, what did he say?
We all have it.
We all have it. We all have it. Now, what's up? If we all have it, why aren't we all it? Well, we don't use it. We don't use it. Now, I live a very distressing life from time to time because I expect people that I have shared with and taught more or less for years that they're going to learn. And I'll say, please do not expect the worst out of these experiences. Please do not expect the worst out of these experiences. And then Ellen looks at Rex and says, don't you do that, don't you do that, and little love, don't you jump on there, damn. And what should be said? What would the dog whisperer say, or what would my geography teacher say? He'd say, come on, let's make fun out of it. Let's have a joy out of it. Hey, I know you're my dog, you're my student, you're my child, you're myself. You are good. You're not going to improperly do something. But you see, we improperly do things when we worry, when we doubt the truth. When, well, I guess you're not really doubting the truth. I expect you to be a naughty boy. You know, you're my child. You're your father's child. You know, you're your mother's family, you know, side of the family. And you're a naughty boy. Have you ever heard that? My goodness, how often we heard them. Every child on the television shows, they say, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, I've heard that. My parents have done that to me. My uncles and aunts have done that to me. My, you know, whatever. You know Harry Potter? Harry Potter, most interesting person. His mother and father were destroyed in a terrible way when he was just a little infant. But he knew it. And he was brought up by an uncle. Now, the uncle was rather unkind to him, and the aunt and the nephew was very unkind to him. And what did he do? He just did his own thing. He didn't know that he had greatness within him. He didn't know that he was the Harry Potter. He didn't know any of these things. He just was a good boy. And at times he was irritated and he did silly things. And like having the big boa constrictor come out of the cage. But he didn't really realize what he was doing. He just knew that he was being nice to the boa constrictor and not to his nephew. But what happened? He turned out to be a good guy, and he continued to be a good guy. Of course, the author wrote him that way. But that's the way he was. Could anybody really, yes, they say, have more difficult circumstances to be brought up than he was? Wow, I mean, that was really a tough, tough, toughy, tough. Now, what did he do about it? He didn't think he was being, Cinderella didn't think she was being brought up under tough circumstances, and Snow White didn't think she was being brought up under tough circumstances. They were always their pure, beautiful self. Now, these are fairy tales. But the fairy tales are meant to teach us very, very wonderful facts of life. If all of us could be untouched by the world about us, how great it would be. Now, if we can train our children to be untouched, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. Now, the day has to begin somewhere for us to do that. We can be on our deathbed, and then we say, hey, you know, really, I like me. I'm a nice person. I am a happy person. I like all of you guys, too. So, see you. Bye-bye. And you take off. Now, what a nice way to pass along, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you pass along, pain, sorrow, you know, with all that nonsense, you merely are looking for what you didn't find all of your life. You didn't find someone who would understand you and understand how brilliant you are and how beautiful you are and how wonderful you are. But if you don't find it yourself, you'll never recognize whether anybody else found it in you or not. Because you will completely ignore it and completely run away from it when you're told that you're wonderful and you're good. And you'll be told, you always say that, you always say that. Well, I would rather be on the side of, yeah, I always say that than I never say that. That sounds like a little better, just a little better avenue of going. Now, we have a great privilege in bringing up our children, our family, our students. But the greatest privilege we have is to bring up ourselves. Our, you ready to bring up yourself and be all that you can be? Not magnetize it from others, not take Obama's charisma and say, hey, you got it. Because what he has, you have too. He's merely using it. Does Obama believe in himself? Oh my goodness, yes. Can you believe in yourself? Yes. Can every child believe in themselves? Yes. And what happens when a child believes in themselves? When a child believes in themselves, they can do anything. They can do anything. So, this day, be your own teacher. Look within, not without. Look within and find all the magic there that has been just waiting to burst forth. And you be your unique, very special self that is not judging the world and looking at the world as it needs to be corrected, but looking at the world and being drawing out from within yourself your magnificence, and with that drawing out you see all the world already that way, because that's what it is. Because we live in a world of already done. It's not to be done, it's already done. We merely want to train ourselves to open our eyes to see that, and know that, and live that, and enjoy that. That's the kind of parent we want to be for ourselves, for our family, for our dogs, our cats, for our mamas and our papas, but mainly for ourselves. Have a good day, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.